Jude. Can we stand as we read Jude, verse number 11? Jude, verse number 11. The Bible says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kore." Father, I pray that you bless the time and the scriptures here this evening. Thank you, Lord, for just being able to sing, to give a testimony of how good you've been to us. Thank you, Lord, for that special. And Lord, really, no matter what happens in our lives, it should be well in our soul because you're in control of everything. So I pray that you bless this time. I pray that we would guard our lips and our hearts and our minds. And Lord, the things that we say would be acceptable in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. We have been talking about the book of Jude. Jude, the half-brother of Jesus and a servant of Jesus Christ, wanted to write about the common salvation, but as he looked around at Christianity as it existed in that first generation, he realized there were some issues that he needed to address. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes this book, and he talks about the fact that we need to defend, that we need to contend for the faith that was once delivered. That there will be men that creep in, there'll be ungodly men that turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They'll take the church away from the Word of God. They'll take the church out of the mission of God, and they will lead other saints astray. In chapter number 1 and verse number 11, he pronounces judgment, and he says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Cain was the first apostate. Cain was the first one we read about. He knows exactly what God wants and refuses to give to God. He is going to do it his way. He's going to worship God as he sees fit. He doesn't care what God wants. This is what he wants. Then we saw the heir of Balaam for reward. And Balaam was willing to curse what God had blessed. He was looking for the rewards of divination. He was willing to go against the word of God and the will of God for money. He was an hireling. Can I tell you that both forms of worship, both forms of leadership are really dangerous. A church that worships God the way they want rather than opposed to what God wants is a church that's in trouble. A pastor, a ministry that is more about making money than it is about worshiping God is in big trouble. Then he says, "And perisheth in the gainsaying of Kore." We studied this last week, and I hope you remember the story. The sons of Korah had responsibility in the tabernacle. They were Levites, but they were not the priests. They were to administer and take care of the vessels of the tabernacle. They were part of God's worship. They were part of helping people worship God, but it wasn't enough for them. They wanted more. If I could have you go back to Numbers chapter number 16 and verse number 3. Numbers chapter 16. Let's just pick up that story very quickly. Keep your finger there in Jude. We'll be right back in a moment. Numbers 16 verse number 3. Numbers 16 verse 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. The sons of Korah said, "You know what? You're taking too much upon you. You're a dictator, if you will. We have just as much authority as you have, and we want our rightful place. We want to be priests like everybody else is a priest. We're as holy as you are." And they were discontent. The Bible says in verse number 9, "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seekest ye the priesthood also?" He said, "Aren't you content with being able to serve God and what God has for you? Aren't you happy to be able to serve God? Aren't you full of joy that you have a chance to minister in some capacity to God?" And the answer would be, "No. No, we're not content. We want more. We want more responsibility. We want more recognition." Well, we read the story, and Moses said, "Well, if they die of natural causes, then you know that God's not in this, that they might be right. But if they die of something that's strange, some other way, then you would know that these sons of Kore were wrong, that they are complaining and that they are murmuring and that they are discontent." And what happens? The ground shakes, opens up, the earth opens up and swallows them whole. Now, I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I would react if I saw that happen. I think I'd take a step back, maybe. You think you might be like, okay, this is amazing. But do you know how the people reacted? Now, this is important. Chapter 16, verse number 41. Chapter 16, verse 41. But on the morrow, after the sons of Korah are destroyed, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel did what? Murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. So God dealt with the murmuring and complaining of Korah, and what he did after they were swallowed up on the next day, the Israelites said, you killed these godly men. You killed them. And they began to murmur. Now, tonight I want to talk about complaining and I want to talk about murmuring. And you say, well, Pastor, I thought we kind of covered that a little bit, didn't we? Well, if you go back, keep your finger there in Numbers, go back to Jude. He's not done talking about murmuring. Jude chapter 1, verse 16. These are what? Murmurers and what? Complainers walking after their own lusts. So because God's not done talking about it, neither am I. Because we're preaching through the book of Jude. So he says, they're murmurers. Like the sons of Korah, like the nation of Israel, they are murmurers and they're complainers. What is a murmur? A murmur is a complaint half suppressed. I mean, it's not full out. It's out. It's a complaint half suppressed or uttered in low muttering voice. Really, it's called an onomatopoeia. It sounds like what it is: murmur, murmur, murmur. A complaint is to utter expression of resentment or discontent, to murmur, to find fault. To find fault. Now, I want to remind you, you probably know this verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says, do most things without murmuring and complaining. Does it say all? Are you sure? It says all. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Well, that same Lord commanded us to do all things without murmuring and disputing. Now, there are some people that I would call their PCs, capital P, capital C, their PCs. What is PCs? It's not preacher's children. It's PC is, I call them pathological complainers. Pathological complainers. Pathological means manifesting behavior that is habitual and compulsive. Meaning there are some people that is their default. Their default is to look at something good or bad, and their first initial response is to complain about it, to murmur about it, to find some type of fault in it that can be picked at, and these would be called pathological complainers. And I want you to know that we might make light of it, but the problem is a heart problem. It's a heart problem. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, have you ever had your kids murmur or complain? That's how my kids memorize Philippians chapter number 2. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. That's how they memorize that, because I made them memorize it. Do you ever tell your kid to do something? You say, hey, I want you to take out the garbage. And they go to get the garbage, but they're like, well, we're gonna take garbage. What? What did you say? Nothing. No, you said something. And I would say this. I would say that murmuring and complaining is going to be dealt with as if it was disobedience. That I'm not just concerned about outward action and conformity, I'm concerned about my child's heart. And God looks at us and says, listen, I'm concerned about what you do outwardly, but I'm concerned about your heart. I'm concerned about your attitude. I'm concerned about my honor. And when we murmur and when we complain, make no mistake, it's a heart issue. It's a heart problem. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious, they seem to be spiritual, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That if we have a problem that controlling our tongue, and I don't just mean cursing and swearing and lying, if we can't control our murmuring and complaining, then we have a spiritual problem. We all right? Now, I'm talking about everybody here, because you might say, well, I'm not a pathological complainer, but do you find yourself complaining? Do you find yourself at times murmuring? Sometimes I find myself complaining about murmurers. There's a vicious cycle. Let's dive a little bit deeper. Go with me to the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. You probably read that Lamentations this morning for your devotions, probably. Lamentations, chapter 3. We'll preach through Lamentations, Lord willing, eventually. But if the Lord comes, we won't. If the Lord comes, we won't have to. Lamentations, chapter 3. Look at verse number 37. Lamentations 3, verse number 37. Lamentations 3, 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. So verse number 37, he's asking this question, who can create things? Who can speak things into existence? Who's the answer? It's God. He's the only answer. Doesn't matter if you're a scientist, doesn't matter if you're a king, doesn't matter how rich you are. Only God has the ability, the power, the authority to speak things into existence. It's only God. If you believe that, would you say amen? Verse 38, out of the mouth of the Most High, the one that can speak things in existence, proceed not evil and good. Out of his mouth, out of his creation, out of his actions, out of his doings, isn't it he that produces evil and good? And the answer is yes. That's the answer. The answer is yes. And you might say, whoa, evil. What does that mean? Let me read for you Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6. Isaiah 45, 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, when you think about evil, I know what you're thinking about. And generally speaking, when we talk about evil, we're talking about moral evil, and this is not what he's referring to. He's not talking about moral evil. He's talking about what Webster would define as natural evil. Well, what's natural evil? Natural evil is anything which produces pain, distress, loss, or calamity, or which in any way disturbs the peace, impairs the happiness, or destroys the perfection of natural beings. The tornado that destroys a town, whether we like it or not, it's created by God. That would be, we would call that a natural evil. Like, that's a bad thing. It was allowed by God. The death of Job's children, the evil that befell Job, was not God in control of all those things? Yes, he was. So this is what he's saying in Lamentations. He's saying, listen, God is the one that creates all things. God is the one that is in control of all the good and all the natural evil that takes place in this world. He's in control of it all. Verse number 39, wherefore, because of this, doth a living man, what's the next word? Complain? I'm the God that controls everything. In Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So he is the creator of everything, both the good things in our lives and the bad things in our lives. And then he asked this question, if you know that's true, and you're a living man, are you going to complain? Are you going to murmur? Are you going to find fault in anything? There's two things to remember when we talk about complaining or murmuring. To complain about the bad things in our life, to complain about the bad things in our life is to not recognize God's sovereignty. Can I say that? When we complain about the bad things, I mean, they're bad. It could be health. It could be family. It could be how somebody treated you. Well, whatever it might be, to complain about the bad things that are happening in your life is really to not recognize that God is sovereign. If he's the one that allowed that thing to be in your life, he's the one that's in control. And for us to step back and look at something that displeases us and to begin to murmur and complain about it is not to recognize that he's the one that's in heaven, that he's the one that's in control. We spent a lot of time in the book of Job. But when all the evil befell Job and the bad things that happened to Job, in Job 1, verse 22, and all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. After God took away his health, he's already lost his family, he's already lost his home, he's already lost his wealth, he's already lost his servants, he's already lost everything. In chapter 2, God allows Satan to take away his health. Job 2 says this, Job 2, verse number 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? God's in control. And bad things are happening to us. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Meaning, he's looking at something terrible. I mean, it's worse than any of us. It's probably worse than all of our tragedies combined that this man went through in the space of two chapters. And he said, wait a minute, God's in control. He's sovereign, and he's given us good things, and now bad things are happening. And we have to realize that he's on the throne, and I'm not going to use my lips to murmur and complain and disparage because he's the one in control. Sometimes my lovely bride, my lovely wife, every now and then, not always, but sometimes she complains about my driving. Now, she's so sweet about it, makes me sick. If I'm driving down the road and I make a lane change and I use my blinkers. There's a lot of people around here who don't use their blinkers. Have you noticed that? I make a lane change, so I use my blinker, and then I come back, and I didn't turn the wheel far enough to reset the blinkers, so it might still be blinking. And my wife will say to me, your blinker's still on. I said, well, eventually in this trip, I'm going to make another left-hand turn. It's an eventual left-hand turn. If I'm driving and it's raining, If my windshield wipers makes two swipes after the last drop, she gets up and says, look, it's not raining anymore. You can turn them off. And you know what I want to say? Well, do you know what I have said in the past? I've said, do you want to drive? Would you like to drive? Now, we traveled together all over the country at an F-450 crew cab dually pulling a 45-foot fifth-wheel trailer, and she didn't want to drive that rig. But boy, she complained about it sometimes. I look at her and say, do you want to drive? No, I don't want to drive. Okay. And what's my next phrase? Well, then don't complain. Now, we're still married through all these years. Here's the point. God is in the driver's seat. He's the one that's in control. And you're thinking, well, this is really bad, and I have a right to complain about it. I have a right to be upset about it. I have a right. Psalm 115, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Romans 9, verse number 20, nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? So the thing formed, say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? He said, wait a minute, you can't complain because God's in control. Well, I'm going through this and that's really bad. I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm trying to maximize his authority in your mind, in your heart. He's in control. And to complain about it is to criticize him for what he's not doing to fix your problem. All right. Did you ever pray to the Lord? And as you're praying to him through, you're navigating through a problem or issue, and you know what needs to happen. So as you pray, you give God guidance of how he should fix the problem. Come on now. You've all done that. We've all done that. Okay, Lord, now this is the problem here, and this is how I need you to fix it. Right? If you do this, this, and this, we'll be good. Well, what are we to tell God what how to fix the problem? He's in control. But for us to murmur about it is to say, I am discontent with your working in my life. I am dissatisfied with your authority and how you're treating my life. Well, that's a different perspective, isn't it? I'm upset that you're putting me through this, or you're allowing this to happen in my family. Okay. Well, no, it's not okay. Go to Philippians. Keep your finger there in Lamentations. Go back to Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4. Look with me at verse number. We're not going to get through this, I can tell already. Philippians 4, verse number 10. Just so you know, we're not going to get through it. So we're going to talk about murmuring next week too. Don't you murmur about it. Murmuring again. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 10. Philippians 4, verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. I'm not lacking anything. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to be on how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I finally learned that no matter what position I'm in, no matter what state I'm in, whether I have enough food or don't have enough food, whether I'm in jail or whether I'm being whipped, whether I'm being stoned or shipwrecked, I have learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. God is in control. I'm not going to murmur about it. I'm not going to complain about it. God's in control. I need to respect his sovereignty. I need to submit to his sovereignty. He takes it one step further. Look at chapter number 4, verse number 4. Chapter 2 is where he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord most of the time. Always, and again, I say, rejoice. So we're not rejoicing in the calamity and the problem. We're not complaining in the calamity of the problem either. We're rejoicing in the Lord. Listen, God's in control. And I don't know what he's doing, but I'm not going to sit with my lips. I'm not going to shake my fist at God. I'm not going to go around complaining about how bad my situation is or how bad God is or how what I'm going through. No, God's in control. Now, I'm preaching to myself here. Because we have a tendency to be spiritual Eeyores. Remember Eeyore? Can't you see all the blessings of God? Neither do I. Right? Woe is me. Matter of fact, I think there's some level of pride and feeling spirituality that we're just suffering for Jesus and how bad it is. The man who's sitting in prison writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In case you didn't hear it the first time, in case during maybe you were murmuring and complaining when I said the first rejoice in the Lord always. Maybe I was rejoicing in the Lord. Oh, you wait, you're murmuring. And again, I say rejoice. Just to remind you that God is always good. And to complain at your circumstance is to overlook God's sovereignty. Now, go back with me, if you will, to Lamentations. Let's hit the second one, and then we'll be done, and we'll... I want to tell you that I really want to talk about the three dangers of murmuring and complaining. We won't get to that tonight, but Lamentations chapter 3. Look with me at verse number 39 again. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? He says in verse number 38, out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. When the bad things come, we should not complain, and we should not complain at the good things. To complain about the bad things is not to recognize his sovereignty. To complain about the good things is not to thank him for his goodness. It's to be unthankful for his goodness. Did you catch that? There's those of us, and I'm including myself in this, that it's not always the bad times that we complain. Sometimes we complain at the good times. Sometimes it can be really good, and we're still going to find something to complain about. Is this right? Now, let me put this in context. To complain is to express dissatisfaction. But every good thing you have came from God. Everything good in your life came from God. And he asked this question in, oh, I lost it. Where'd it go? Lamentations. In Lamentations, he says, wherefore doth a living man complain? What a phrase. A living man. A man who has the breath in their lungs and nostrils that God gave them. The Bible says in Job 12, verse number 10, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Acts chapter 17, verse 25, neither is worship with a man's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. If you're a living human being, then God gave you life. And God has given you every single breath you've ever taken. Is that right? Every breath. Every breath you've ever had is a gift from the Lord. And the Bible says that in Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now watch this. Wow, God, you're good. You gave me life. By you we move and live and have our being. Everything good I have comes from you. And he says, okay, you're a living man. Everything good you had came from God. And you're going to inhale God's breath and exhale a complaint, a murmuring, a disputing, when I'm the one that gave it to you? Can a living man find something to look around and complain about? Now again, if we are pathological complainers, we will. We'll find something. When we were on the road, I bought a brand new pickup truck. I mean brand new. It was a lot of money, and it was a beautiful black truck. It's for sale, by the way. It's on Facebook Marketplace right now. I just saw it the other day. I said, honey, this is our old truck. This is amazing. We can't afford it. We couldn't afford it then. We can't afford it now. Anyway, so I love that truck. And so we drove it out to Minnesota, and we're there, and my father-in-law was a car guy, and my mother-in-law is out there looking. They're all looking around. Then, oh, that's really great. That's really great. And then she had an uncle who was a pathological complainer. How many know somebody who's a pathological complainer? Okay, hopefully you're not married to him. But anyway, so we're all looking at it. Yeah, it's got two turbos on it. And he comes, looks around, and goes, wow, a lot of things to break down there. Really? That's your take? I don't care if you're a Ford or Chevy guy or I don't care. But that's your take. There's a lot of things to break. You can't just look at something just to appreciate it. You got to try to find something wrong with it. I'm here to tell you, if you're looking at anything and you're looking for something wrong with it, you're going to find it. Hey, you look at your spouse long enough, you're going to find something wrong with them. Don't amen that, please. My marriage counseling schedule is full. All right? Don't amen that. Maybe you've already found some things. All right? Hey, you look at your job you thought was your perfect job. Look around, you're there for a bit, and you go, well, this is not quite the perfect job. A church? Oh, this is the perfect church. Do you see that picture that's floating around of Ryan Flanders? He's in France, and he's standing next to a sign, a church sign, that says the name of the church is The Perfect Church. I would never name my church that. If I did, I couldn't pastor it. You couldn't join it because it wouldn't be a perfect church anymore. Oh, that church is perfect. Well, then you stick around for a while. You find out we're not perfect. If you're looking for something wrong, you will find it. Hey, I guarantee all the beautiful work done over there, if you walk through the hallways and stuff, you'll find a couple things wrong. Some pathological ones will find lots of things wrong. But I'm thankful for all the work that was done out there. Can a living man complain? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. How could we be so unthankful? How could we be so unthankful? Like, you have a meal on your table and that your wife prepared, that the father paid for, the mom prepared, and the kid sits at the table and goes, oh. Did every kid do that? Ooh. 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 More for me. Because you're not eating. Yeah, but. How can the Lord be so good to us, and then we're going to find something to complain about, and then expect God to still bless us? It's not going to happen. I have proof. We don't have time to study, but I have proof. I have proof that when God does something great, when God is so good to us, and we overlook that goodness and find the one or two things that aren't quite up to what we would have it to be, we find something that God did good, and we find something to murmur around and complain about. Oh, manna again. Really? Why would God do anything else? You wouldn't do it. Your kid's going to complain about it? Oh, fine. All right. I remember one time my mom, we were having beef barley soup again. And that's a long story, but anyway, we had that a lot. And we used to call it beef barfy soup. We were poor, and my grandfather owned a Dunkin' Donuts that served soup, and they had these big rusty cans of expired soup, and we got all those cans. And so probably two or three times a week, you ask my mother, she'll tell you, two or three times a week, that's what we had. Do you know this? Do you know the name brand? I won't tell you the name brand, but I will tell you this, that when we walked into the dining hall in the camp, there was a logo hanging on the wall of that beef barley soup on the wall. We can't buy this camp. Look at that. That's just terrible. And I said, oh, beef barfy soup again? My mom said, you know, there's kids starving in China. I grew up in that era, right? There's kids starving in China. And me, smart aleck, let's send it to China then. My dad, fine. Then you'll go hungry. Yeah, but, no buts. Might as well just go to your room. Yeah, but, no. Yeah, but, maybe you can have it for breakfast. You know what I had for breakfast, right? I was thankful. Why would I do anything else? That's what worries me. It worries me that if we have a culture in our church, and I don't think we do, so don't. But if we end up having a culture in our church like some others do, that it's just nothing's ever good. Nothing's ever right. Nothing's ever perfect. Nothing's ever the exact way that you think it should be or I think it should be. And we're just never content. We're just always something picking, something murmuring, something complaining about. Why would God ever bless that church? But boy, if we could step back and go, listen, hey, I know we've been through some hard times, but God's always been good. God has blessed us. We've seen souls saved. We're building a new sanctuary. Praise the Lord for that. We had, 45 kids accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. What am I saying? I'm saying God's been good to us. And if we don't recognize it, if we don't praise Him for it, if we default towards being negative and complaining and murmuring, then why would God's hand still bless us? Why would it still be on us? I don't think it would. I don't think it would. So let me end there with those two thoughts. When we complain about things that are bad, we're not recognizing His sovereignty over our lives. that he's in heaven, he can do whatever he pleases. And we complain about that circumstance, that situation, or what happened, or what we have. And it might be something bad, but when we complain about it, is not to recognize that God is the one that's allowing it to happen in our lives. And Job realized that and said, listen, God gives us good, God gives us bad. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he's always good. And to complain when things are good is to be unthankful. God's been good to us. God's been good to you. Now, I know you could sit here and we could sit down right over here. We could sit down and you could say, oh, well, Pastor, you don't understand. You know, financially, well, we're hurting really bad and the dishwasher broke down and my left knee is really bad and this one's not even my knee. It's been replaced in my back and my grandkids. You know what my grandkids, have you, Pastor, seen the election? Have you seen what's going on in America today? Do you know how bad that is? And have you seen that carpet in there? I don't know who laid it, but it's crooked. Hey, did you know there was a stain over here? And, you know, Pastor, this is terrible. Your office is way too small. I mean, Pastor, I just... which nobody ever said but me. Well, listen, every single one of us could sit down and make a list. But if you do, burn it. Because God's been good to you. God's been good to me. And he gave me my breath, he gave me my tongue, he gave me my lips to praise him and to thank him. Not to complain, not to murmur, not to disparage, not to criticize, but to praise him. And let me say this. I'm not talking about having an opinion. We all have opinions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about murmuring and complaining. I'm alive. How can I inhale and exhale and say anything but glory to God in the highest. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be his name. He's a good God. He's a great God. He's a kind God. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. He's a God that's provided every meal I've ever had. He's a God that puts clothes upon my back. He's the God that let me inhale and exhale every moment of my life. He's the God that keeps my heart beating. He's the God that gave us Grace Baptist Church. He's a God that puts your family together. He's a God that sent his only begotten son to die for your sins and rise again the third day. He's a God that has forgiven you all of your trespasses. He's a God that is preparing a place for you to dwell forever and ever and ever. And you take anything you want to complain about and you measure to what I just said and you complain and you murmur, and I would say shame on us. He's a good God. Father, thank you. Lord, I believe every single one of us has a problem. And we can look at other people, but every one of us has used our mouths to murmur, to complain about things that we should not. Lord, I don't want to belittle some hardships in folks' lives. I know there's difficult things to deal with, but you're a God that's in control. So would you forgive us for looking at our circumstances and instead of rejoicing, we complain. Lord, you've been so good to us in our lives, and there's things we can look at in our lives that you've been so good to us, and yet we'll find the one thing to pick at. We'll find the one thing that's not what we thought it should be, and then like a scab, we just poke at it, pick at it, pick at it, pick at it. Instead of thanking you for all of the good. Lord, as a church, may we thank you tonight for your goodness to us. May we use our breath to worship you, to praise you. Thank you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And I want to give you an opportunity to come and thank the Lord for the goodness in your life. Maybe come and ask him to forgive you for murmuring and complaining, but primarily come and just thank him.